This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Week 14 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. And it's that time again. It's Wednesday, and it means we have to look at the rankings for Week 14. Bi-Mageddon 2.0 is here. It's upon us. It's brutal. We hate it. And, of course, it's awful timing, isn't it? We're just about to hit our fantasy playoffs. And, look, you're taking away all of our players? What kind of cruel mistress is fantasy football? I don't know, but we're going to try our best to circumnavigate what is left and come all the way back around and get all those lineups set. And we are going to do that today with my good friend Pat Fitzmaurice. He is going to join us, as always, on Wednesday, because he has no choice. This is his job. But our other friend here, he's here from Fantrax, Mick Chialella, and I like to say it like that. In fact, I think I have to say it like that in order for it to sound as Italian as possibly can. And from a Pizzapia to a Chialella, that's pretty much what we got to do. So, Mick, I'm going to start here at the top with you. I want to press the guest. I have a question for you. Obviously, with some of the quarterback injuries we've had too recently, especially in San Francisco, how are we adjusting in our minds what we're going to do with guys like Debo, guys like Ayuk, even George Kittle to a certain extent too, now that Jimmy Garoppolo is not under center for the foreseeable future for the 49ers?
Well, I think we might touch on this in a little bit, but I actually think Debo is going to be okay. I think given with Brock Purdy at quarterback, they might design a few more rushing attempts for Debo. So I'm not sure. I'm not certainly worried about Debo as much as I am Ayuk and Kittle. And again, I don't think we're going to ding them a ton. You know, San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, he knows what he's doing offensively. He knows what he has in Purdy and his skill players. So I think we're going to bump them down a little bit, but I don't want to go overboard, you know, and start benching them in advantageous matchups and things of that sort.
Mick is such a pro. He's doing my job for me. Teasing, we're going to talk about Debo Samuel a little later in the show, but let's get after everybody because we need the answers to these questions.
Wide receiver rankings.
Let's talk about the wide receivers, and let's start here at the guys that Pat has higher than Mick this week. Let's start with Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, we got news that Cortland Sutton looked at probably a no-go this week in Week 14 because, you know, we don't need players to play. who needs players in fantasy football after all? Pat, you've got Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver 21. Mick's got him at 26. ECR at 32. I imagine that is going to change significantly after the news that we just got about an hour ago. So, Pat, let's talk about the upside of Jerry Jeudy potentially in Week 14 in his matchup.
Yeah, it does seem like Sutton is probably going to be out. I think Nathaniel Hackett said day to day, but, you know, even though who among us isn't day to day, it does sound pretty doubtful that Sutton is able to go. So Jeudy came back from his own injury last week, a high ankle sprain, I believe, and had four catches for 65 yards on only 20 snaps. So the per snap production was pretty terrific. And really, Judy's been good this year when healthy. You know, don't tell our guys, Derek Brown and Andrew Erickson. But I personally think Judy's a better player than Sutton is. He's averaged.
Don't tell them I agree with you.
Yeah, this has definitely been a point of contention.
And you know what? At the end, we've all been wrong. Let's be honest. Nobody's been right about either one. Everybody's been terrible. Denver's just been terrible, so we could just light the whole thing on fire. I mean, yeah. That's it.
Look, Sutton's efficiency numbers, though, Joe, not bad. Like 8.7 yards per target and 1.94 yards per route run, which are pretty good efficiency numbers in a passing game that hasn't been very good. No. You know, he's kind of defied the overall quality of this Denver passing game. But if Sutton's out, I think there's a good chance Judy sees 8-plus targets, 10-plus targets in a good matchup against the Chiefs. They've given up the fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers.
Mick, from Nathaniel Hackett, saying that, quote, unlikely to play is Cortland Sutton this week now. Jerry Judy coming off a game against Baltimore, 4-for-4, 65 yards, just 9.5 PPR points. But against Kansas City, and look, they are at home. Perhaps you get a little bit of a boost here with the crowd. I don't know. But what are your thoughts here on Jerry Judy? Because you are still kind of, again, not quite as far away as the ECR, but certainly not where Pat is either.
I'm not as high as Pat, but I do like Judy in general. As he mentioned, you know, he's a top 20 receiver in terms of yards per route run on the season. And he did mention that the Chiefs are allowing the fifth most fantasy points. So I do think there is something there for Judy. One of the things I like, I think ECR is a little bit low based on what he did last week. But again, as you guys mentioned, he was coming off an injury. He had 7-plus targets in 4 straight games prior to the injury. So I think we're going to see that volume elevate this week, especially if Sutton is out. So I do think Judy has a wide receiver 2 potential in 12-team leagues. And I definitely have him in that, you know, high-end wide receiver 3 range, but not quite as high as Pat. But I think he's a solid starter this week.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Uncommon Goods. If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this holiday season, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon because Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. I just found 2 amazing Christmas ornaments that are the birthstones of my 2 daughters, and they are fantastic. They're beautiful. I'm going to give them to them as one of their stocking stuffers this year. And I'm telling you, they've got small gifts like that or really major gifts as well. So if you want to go all out, Uncommon Goods has got you on lock. They've got art. They've got jewelry, kitchen, home, and bar. In fact, some of the bar stuff on there, super cool. I might just go back and buy a couple things for myself, including some of those really cool whiskey things that they have, because Joey P does like the occasional whiskey. And I'm telling you right now, Uncommon Goods is the place to find some of these unique gifts that you can't find in stores, and that makes for something special. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $2.5 million to date. So get 15% off your next gift at uncommongoods.com/fantasypros. That's uncommongoods.com/fantasypros for 15% off, and don't miss out on this limited time offer at Uncommon Goods, because at Uncommon Goods, they're all fresh out of the ordinary. And now, back to the action. The next guy on the list is actually wide receiver 12 in half PPR this year. His name, Christian Kirk. I bet a lot of people don't realize that he's wide receiver 12 on the year. I bet I blew a lot of people's minds there that don't have shares. I know last week he was a darling of the DFS show. We loved Christian Kirk. He didn't have the touchdown, but 6-for-104. That's pretty good. We'll take that over on DK at least. Christian Kirk this week going to Tennessee. You've got him ranked, Pat, at a wide receiver. What do you know? 12. Mix got him at 16, a little bit further back. ECR at 17, even further than that. So let's talk about Christian Kirk, the little engine that could, who continues to be productive. Any concerns at all about Trevor Lawrence's health? I know he wasn't due to practice today on Wednesday, but again, the fact that he walked back on the field was stunning after that injury. So in your opinion, is it just all systems go again for Christian Kirk in week 14?
How is it that all Trevor Lawrence got out of that play was a sprained big toe? I thought he was dead when that play happened. I mean, that was just hideous.
I wanted to, and I didn't in our chat. I almost texted, I think Lawrence is out for the year. And I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. Just wait and see. Oh. But it looked that bad. I thought he was done.
Yeah, I thought it was a Burrow type thing where it was like not only ACL, but probably some other CL ligaments too, PCL, MCL. Like I thought it was all gone.
His hair is so long. It actually runs all the way down his whole body and through the ligaments in his knee and somehow makes them all stronger. People don't know that. Well,
so back to Kirk, you know, now that Lawrence, it looks like he's going to play almost assuredly. I think they said he wasn't going to practice today, Wednesday, but most likely he's going to be able to play through a sprained big toe. Over the last six games, Kirk has seen no fewer than seven targets in any game and is averaging 6.2 catches and 77.8 receiving yards. So it's been a really good run for Christian Kirk here. And, you know, he's already hit a new career high with seven touchdowns. Joe, you mentioned he's the wide receiver 12 on the year and a half point PPR. And I think this is a pretty good matchup for him, too. The Titans are giving up the most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, and they have been using safety Amani Hooker to cover slot receivers of late. And he's actually been doing a pretty good job of it. But, man, give me Christian Kirk in any matchup against any safety in the NFL. I want that matchup, and, you know, I want Kirk in my lineup this week.
I can't wait to see what Kirk is when Calvin Ridley's back on the field with him next year. It's going to be fun. I have a real curiosity about that. It's going to take me all through the winter into the summer and then eventually into next fall. How about you here, Mick? Your thoughts on Christian Kirk in week 14?
I like him as well for all the reasons Pat mentioned. You know, he's had seven plus targets in six straight, eight plus targets in 8 of 12 overall. So he's definitely got the volume to put him in that wide receiver two range. I do think, you know, Hooker has played well again. You know, he is a converted safety, so I don't want to fully give that matchup to Hooker. But Tennessee's issues in the receiving game have been more on the outside, as we saw with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith a week ago. They just got burned time and time again on the outside. So I would like it a little more if, you know, Kirk played a little bit more on the outside. He plays 78% of his snaps in the slot. So, you know, I think he'll be fine. Again, I'm starting him as a wide receiver too. I just don't quite have him as high as Pat does.
All right, let's get to the third guy that Pat has a little higher than our good friend Mick here. It's Mac Collins, who is really all or nothing. Either he's wide receiver 36 or he's wide receiver 70. There's very little in between here. And Pat, you've got him at wide receiver 36 this week. you've got him, Mick, at 44. ECR is in the 40s as well. They're at 41. Actually, just looking now, it's moved up to 39 since this morning. So let's talk about Mac Collins. Why do you think the potential is there this week for the Rams, against the Rams, I should say, for Mac Collins to look a little bit more like a potential flex play in deeper leagues?
Skinny target tree for the Raiders. It's basically Devontae Adams, their tight end, Foster Moreau, and Hollins. And that's pretty much it. And the occasional dump off to Josh Jacobs. But Waller is not going to be back until week 15 at the earliest. And I haven't heard anything to indicate that Hunter Renfrow might be back. So he's already missed four games. And in the four games Hunter Renfrow has missed, Hollins has averaged 7.3 targets. Hasn't really cashed in yet. He's averaging 4.3 catches and 42 yards over the four games Renfrow has missed and has only one touchdown over that stretch. But I do really like the matchup this week against the Rams. For one thing, the Rams offense is just like so bad right now. And I doubt the Rams are going to be able to sustain many long drives. So we know the Raiders are going to have the ball a lot in this game and probably run a lot of offensive plays. And I think Hollins is going to probably run most of his routes against Darian Kendrick, a sixth round rookie who, while PFF has graded 119 cornerbacks, and Kendrick is the 111th graded cornerback, he is giving up 1.85 yards and 0.35 fantasy points per route run into his coverage. Those are really bad numbers. And, you know, I think Hollins is just kind of a sneaky good start here in a six-team bye week.
All right, Mick, you buying anything that Pat's selling here when it comes to Mac Collins?
To some extent. So I was going to mention the individual matchups as well, because Hollins plays on the outside 86% of the time. So the Rams usually keep their corners pretty stationary. So I think there's an equal chance of him facing Kendrick or Ramsey or Jalen Ramsey. And that is a night and day difference between the two. As Pat mentioned, Kendrick has struggled a great deal. So I think it's possible he gets by for a deep one. But, you know, if he was getting more snaps against him, I think I'd feel a little bit more confident about it. But, you know, Hollins on the season only has one game of over 66 yards. He has not been a top 30 fantasy wideout unless he scores a touchdown. So to me, he's a touchdown dependent option. And if he's facing Ramsey on a fair amount of snaps, I don't necessarily think he's going to get into the end zone this week.
Okay, let's flip the script here before we do and look at the guys that Mick likes more than Pat this week. Don't forget, everybody, we all know some of your teams haven't worked out. It's happened. Whether it be, you know, the injuries, whether it be just some picks or, you know, too much Cortland Sutton like Andrew Erickson has, whatever it is, we know some of them have gone awry, but you don't want to be that person, that guy or that girl who doesn't set their lineup and take care of their business. And Autopilot can help you do that without any problems. So it's one of the amazing tools over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. You can go ahead and get that. It's a premium feature, though. And what Autopilot does, it sets all your lineups and makes the suggested changes for you. It swaps an active player. So that way you're being responsible. You're being a good owner in your fantasy league and manager without having to necessarily do anything, because let's face it, your playoff hopes and dreams have come crashing down in some leagues. We all have those teams and you do too. So go check it out. And remember, if you want to go premium, fantasypros.com/offers, that's the way to do it. Go there, fantasypros.com/offers, make a small deposit, one of our partner sites, and you get 6 free months of our premium product. And you can use the Autopilot feature, not to mention all the other great features too that we have for those teams that are still alive and fighting for championships, the waiver assistant, and a whole lot more. So either way, the tools will help you out. fantasypros.com/myplaybook, or just download the app like all the kids like the apps. Let's get to the next one here. We're going to talk about Deebo Samuel. We teased it. Let's do it. Go ahead now, Mick. Wide receiver 17, you've got him. Pat's at 28. ECR is at 24. They can't seem to decide. Bring ECR over to your side. Make them see what you see when it comes to Deebo this week.
Well, for the first 7 weeks of the season, Deebo was the wide receiver 11. Over the last 4 weeks, he's been the wide receiver 26. So that may seem like a big difference, but what has not changed is the opportunities. He had 78 opportunities in the first 7 games, which is 11.1. In the last 4 weeks, he's had 45 opportunities, which is 11.3. So the volume is exactly what it was earlier in the season. I know there's a narrative about Christian McCaffrey taking a lot of the rushing work and things of that nature, but Deebo's role has basically remained the same. It's just been slight. He's just been slightly less efficient over the last few weeks. But given, you know, the change of quarterback with Brock Purdy, I think Kyle Shanahan is going to go out of his way to involve Deebo more on screen passes in the running game. So I think there's going to be enough there to get Deebo over the top and put him into that, you know, top 15, top 20 range.
What do you think about that, Pat? You think you might be able to start pushing Deebo back up under the circumstances the 49ers offense is in?
Yeah, I mean, I've got him pretty low right now. So if I do push him anywhere, it's probably going to be up. And Mick does make an interesting point that maybe Brock Purdy, even though we have to look at this as a downgraded quarterback for the 49ers, maybe the usage changes a little bit with Deebo and makes him more valuable, even with, you know, most likely a drop off in quarterback play for the 49ers. You know, and I do love the player, but man, the results have just been kind of dismal lately. Like, he hasn't had more than 58 receiving yards in a game since October 16th. He's only scored 4 touchdowns this season, only 1 in his last 6 games. And that was on a 39-yard touchdown run against the Cardinals. And, you know, like, speaking of running, since week 3, Deebo's only had 102 rushing yards. Like, he has not gotten that much. Maybe he does get more with Purdy at quarterback, but, you know, 11.3 rushing yards per game since week 3. So you're not getting that bonus rushing value really out of him. And also, this just isn't that easy a matchup against the Buccaneers. I mean, you know, Todd Bowles is going to dial up some exotic stuff for, you know, Brock Purdy, I would think, in his first start of the 2022 season. So I don't know. I'm just a little hesitant on Deebo. And just to take people behind the scenes with our, tools in our rankings tool. Sometimes if you are extremely high or low on a player, you'll get a little pop-up notice before you publish your rankings. I keep getting
my
the warning
page is
like,
filled with them. That's why I'm at ranking somewhere in the 90s right now.
I keep getting the notice like, hey, you're much lower on Deebo Samuel than consensus. And I'm like, no, that's really where I want to be, guys. But thanks. Like,
I am. And my name is Pat Fitzmaurice. Thank you very much. And I did very well in the ranks last week. Thank you very much. That's what you say, but you should email them back. Email that, you know. Don't let the ECR bully you. That's what I always say. Next guy on the list, Amari Cooper. Deshaun Watson's back. Well, sort of. At least not the Deshaun Watson that we are used to seeing. But we'll see if that rust continues to shake off this coming week. Mick, you've got him as wide receiver 12. Pat's got him at 17. Obviously, he's the guy you're starting, everybody. ECR is at 14. It's not about starting. It's about expectations. So, Mick, what are your expectations this week for Amari Cooper?
I think he's going to be fine. I mean, he's got the eighth most targets on the year. And as you mentioned, there was a little bit of disconnect with he and Watson last week, but he still had a 41% target share last week. So he's getting elite usage. You know, he runs 74% of his runs, of his routes on the outside. So he should avoid Mike Hinton for the most part and get hopefully Eli Apple. And I want all wide receivers. Give me any wide receiver, elite wide receiver with usage who's facing Eli Apple. So I think Cooper is going to have a big day this week.
That is a fact one cannot argue no matter what you do. What's fascinating about Cooper too, before Watson came back, back-to-back games with 12 targets, 24 targets in two games. The last two that Jacoby Brissett played quarterback. Last week you saw 9 targets. The last time you played Cincinnati, by the way, Pat, 5 catches for 131 and a touchdown, 21 half PPR points, wide receiver 6 performance. They've kind of stuck it to Cincinnati. It's funny because that division, everybody seems to have different kryptonite of who they can't beat. And for some reason, that's theirs. So what do you make out of this game here where Cincinnati, who has struggled against Joe Burrow, struggled against the Cleveland Browns in his career. He can beat Patrick Mahomes every time. He can't beat the Browns. Someone make this make sense, Pat, because I can't.
Yeah, that was Halloween night, Joe, and that was a season-high 131 yards for Amari Cooper. He was, dragging the Bengals into the haunted house that night. I think you're starting Cooper no matter what this week, but like the first game with Deshaun Watson, not all that encouraging. Yes, he did have the big target share. 9 targets, not the problem. The problem was that he caught only 4 of them for 40 yards and no touchdowns. I guess I'm less concerned about the matchup. You know, we know what he did to the Bengals earlier, even though the Bengals have been generally pretty tough on wide receivers, as Mick mentioned, outside receivers get that Eli Apple matchup. And you're generally going to be happy, I think. But I'm just less concerned with the matchup than I am about the non-chemistry or the, still developing chemistry between Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper.
Okay, we'll see if that chemistry ramps up a little bit in the second start for Deshaun Watson. Certainly, he better get a move on because that offense in Cincinnati is starting to look like it's clicking with Ja'Marr Chase back. Last guy on the list here, Adam Thielen. Mick, you've got at wide receiver 24. Pat's not having that. Wide receiver 34. ECR a little closer to Pat at 31. So let's talk about Adam Thielen. He was a player, I think, going into the year that a lot of us were sort of just letting go by the wayside. It was kind of all right, it's been a fun ride. This has been great. We appreciate you, but it's a tough investment at this point. Why are you reinvesting, it seems like, in week 14 in Adam Thielen?
You know, it's interesting because I don't consider myself an Adam Thielen fan from a fantasy perspective, but I do kind of like him in this game. You know, he's got decent volume. He's averaged 7 targets and 50 yards per game on the season. This game has a 53-point total. It's the highest of the week, so I think offense is going to be aplenty. And, you know, Andrew Erickson actually mentioned this earlier, but Detroit has actually been very good against the run over the past, 6 to 8 weeks. They've allowed the second fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs since week 6. And they also play man coverage at a top 5 rate in the NFL. So granted, Justin Jefferson is going to be the alpha in this offense. That's, there's no question about that. But I do think they're going to give enough attention defensively to Jefferson for Thielen to kind of catch some underneath passes. And I think he's going to do enough in this game to put him in that, low wide receiver 2, high wide receiver 3 range.
All right, Pat, your thoughts here about Adam Thielen and maybe why you're seeing things a little differently than Mick.
You said a lot of us left him by the wayside in draft season, Joe, and I was one of those people, and I'm pretty glad because I don't know how you decide when to start this guy in a managed league. Like, you're always hoping for the touchdown with Adam Thielen, like that he's going to bail you out with that. But after scoring 14 touchdowns in 2020 and 10 in 2021, he only has 3 this year. He's on pace for an 870-yard season. He hasn't had more than 72 receiving yards in a game all season. The efficiency numbers have been spiraling downward in recent years, and we're seeing that continue to happen. 10.4 yards per catch, a career low, 7.0 yards per target, a career low. I'll concede that the matchup is a good one. And in an earlier meeting against the Lions in week 3, he had 6 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. But like I wouldn't be excited about putting Thielen into my lineup if I were in a must-win spot in week 14. If I had Thielen on any of my rosters, which I don't, so
I have one, but it was a desperation move. But here we are. I hope for my sake that Mick is right this week. Just put that out there. Let's get to the rankings throwdown, where I pick a wide receiver now that I am higher on than the ECR, and Pat Fitzmaurice tells me why I'm wrong. It is Garrett Wilson this week for me. I've got him as wide receiver 10 this week. You know why? Because I believe in Mick Giolella's Jets. That's right. I'm saying it. Let's go. All the Mike White. Look, anybody besides Zach Wilson was my motto going into this year for the Jets. Just anybody but Garrett Wilson over the last 2 weeks. He's wide receiver 3 in half point PPR. The only people who have more points than Garrett Wilson the last 2 weeks are Davante Adams and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not enough respect is happening for Garrett Wilson. ECR's got him at 18. To me, that is unforgivable, Pat. Pat, what do you have to say about this? I am 8 spots higher than ECR and Garrett Wilson. Where are you on Garrett Wilson? Am I right or am I wrong?
I'm halfway between you and ECR, Joe. I've got to admit, so wide receiver right. 14. You're half right.
But or half wrong, depending on how you look at the top.
Yeah. How funny is it, though, that they were hiding Zach Wilson so much? And like with Mike White, you know, last week he throws 57 passes early in the season.
57 passes.
Joe Flacco was throwing it around 50 plus times a game early in the year. As long as it's not Zach Wilson, they're happy taking the handcuffs off their quarterback and letting him go to town. So, yes, you're playing Garrett Wilson. Can I ask you guys a question about 2023 involving Garrett Wilson? I want to see how you guys answer this. Who would you rather have for 2023, Garrett Wilson or Christian Watson?
Ooh, great question. Mick, you're the Jets fan. I'll let you kick that off first. You're the guest.
I think I'd rather have Wilson. I think there's uncertainty at quarterback in both situations going into next year, but I think Wilson is higher than Watson a little bit.
Well, just for clarity too, Christian Watson is the 4th wide receiver on the list in the last 2 weeks, besides Garrett Wilson right behind him. You know, I'm going to say Garrett Wilson just because I think I feel where the Jets situation is headed, and I don't know where the Packers situation is headed, but it's real close. I mean, Watson's starting to really get it too, and he's that special breakaway talent. Different kind of wide receivers, though, you know, very different stylistically. So I think that also has to, is it wrong to say in the half or in a standard I'd rather have Watson, and then in a full PPR I want Garrett Wilson because I just think he can handle the workload?
Yeah, I can see that.
A sure hands, the better guy that I think you just pepper him with targets all day. Meanwhile, the other guy needs to touch the ball one time to have this amazing performance. I think that's the difference, I think, between the two.
That's probably it, that Wilson gets more receptions next year, but Watson is maybe the guy who averages 17 or 18 right. yards right. per catch.
Watson might have more points because of the touchdowns. Right.
By yeah.
But, it's a great
question.
It's
one of the fun debates we're going to have January, February, March, during the so-called slow months, kicking
slow
around
months.
Topics like
What's
that.
That? Exactly. Tell me more about these slow months. I want to hear about these slow months you talk about. Let's take a quick break in the action and tell you about Fight Camp. Have you been looking for a new addition to your fitness routine? Maybe the gym's not enough. And look, let's be honest, it's cold outside. You don't want to go running necessarily all the time either when it's 10 below. Let me introduce you to Fight Camp. Fight Camp is an interactive at-home boxing training system, and they bring the best workout in the world right into your home and make it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teaching proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp has live punch counting stats that motivate you by counting every punch throughout your workout and pushing you to meet your goals each and every round. As you progress, you'll unlock achievements and you can go head to head against other members, whether they're across the country or right across the living room. And right now, one of the best things about Fight Camp is that it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what fitness level you're at, what age you're at, it doesn't matter, or what your experience in boxing is. You can do this and you're going to have a great time while you're doing it. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home this holiday season. And you'll also get a free heart rate monitor and a premium jump rope for free in addition. And that's $148 value again at fightcamp.com/pros. Fight Camp packages start as low as $9 a month and you can get started right now and get your free gifts with this purchase. So go to fightcamp.com/pros. That's fightcamp.com/pros to get started today on the best version of you. And now back to the action.
Running back rankings.
Let's turn this show back around and let's get it to the guys where we have differences of opinion at the running back position. We have Jeffrey Wilson Jr. Pat, you are higher than Mick is on Jeff Wilson this week. Not by much. Again, one spot difference. ECR is kind of right there. But I want to talk about Jeffrey Wilson here for a moment, if I can. What are your thoughts going into this week? We know Tua is dealing with an injury, so he's going to play. It feels like that's the way things are trending. But I think there's a little uncertainty in the market when it comes to this Miami offense, obviously, when Tua is not 100%. And at this point, Jeffrey Wilson, obviously, we have some question about his limited three opportunities last week as well.
Yeah, not only we had this great revenge game set up last week, Joe. Wilson going back to face the team, not only an old team, but a team he had played for like just over a month earlier. And he had one carry for 3 yards and mm-hmm. two uncaught targets. So yeah, that was quite a swerve on us because Wilson had basically operated as the lead running back ever since the trade that brought him to Miami. And then it was Mostert last week kind of operating as the lead guy. So what are we to believe here? I guess the good thing is that even if you are worried about the usage, you get Wilson in a good matchup against the Chargers. Like he doesn't necessarily need 20 touches with the Chargers giving up the third most fantasy points to running backs. They're giving up 134.9 rushing yards per game to running backs, and they've given up 15 touchdowns to running backs in 12 games. So even if we get this sort of vague usage where it's 50-50 or maybe it's 60-40 Mostert again, I think it can work, which is why I've got Wilson as like a mid-range RB2. But, you know, after getting these 60%, 61% snap shares, seeing him go to 39% last week was sort of alarming.
All right, Mick, over to you. Could be a lot of factors in here. The familiarity between the two coaches last week, certainly understanding each other's tendencies, could also just be the health as well. Of last time we saw Wilson, he was dealing with an injury issue. And as Pat pointed out, too, this matchup against the Chargers is really tantalizing. So what's your temperature when it comes to Jeff Wilson this week?
I do love the matchup. The Chargers are giving up the most yards before contact on average at 1.96. They're giving up 5.6 yards per carry to running backs. No other team allows more than 5.12. So the matchup itself is great. But to Pat's point, I'm a little bit wary of what we're going to get. I don't know if it's going to be 8 opportunities, 12 opportunities, 15 opportunities. If I knew for sure he was getting, you know, at least 10 given the matchup, I would say he's a surefire starter. I'm a little bit hesitant. I still have him in that, you know, low RB2 range, but it's going to be tough to put him ahead of some of the higher options just with the uncertainty about his role.
Fair enough there. All right, let's get to the next player on our list to talk about here. And the next one is Rashad White in a full-blown committee with Leonard Fournette. Yay! Said no one ever about running back committees, at least on fantasy. Pat, you've got him at RB25. Mick's got him at 31. The ECR is at 22. So very close here in terms of the ECR to Pat. Not so much for you, Mick. I want to get to you in a second. But first, sure. Defend the honor of Rashad White going into this contest this week here for me, Pat, because White's coming off a game against New Orleans here where he was still active, especially in the passing game. 8 targets. That's 17 targets for those of you keeping score at home in the last 2 games. That's what we're looking for. 40-plus yards in both of those for the receiving end, too. He also had 9 carries, had the touchdown this game. So whose backfield is this at the end of the day? Is it just going to be the committee the rest of the year, or do you think Rashad White is just at this point going to continue to prove to be the better choice for them?
I mean, I think at this point, White is probably the better back, but we saw on Monday that it's probably going to be a straight committee. And, you know, Fournette even getting a little more usage, 48 snaps for him, 33 for White. Even though the touches were pretty even, we did see Fournette kind of work ahead of White. And, you know, right down to the end of the game, Fournette was in for pretty much everything except the game-winning play. White comes in at the last second and, you know, catches that game-winning touchdown pass with 3 seconds left. So, I definitely think ECR is a little too optimistic about Rashad White. And even though White does seem to have more juice, it's clear that they trust Fournette. But the good thing is, you mentioned how much they were dumping it off, Joe, and with no Tristan Wirfs on the offensive line for the Buccaneers, like Brady does not want to get hit. You saw how quickly he was unloading the ball on Monday night. Like,
you don't want to get hit by Bosa this coming week when you're playing Sam Brand.
No, exactly.
And Pat, isn't that kind of like, that's the point we have to ask ourselves too. You make a great point there with Wirfs. And Mick, if we're talking about game script here, potentially for this game too, it doesn't feel like a ground and pound kind of game you want to get into with the 49ers. You want to try to throw the ball on them, or maybe you're even in a spot where, you know, sometimes you're behind this offense. Granted, now with the quarterback situation there, maybe we have to change our opinion of that. But just from the outside looking in those PPR leagues especially, is Rashad White somebody that maybe we can convince you to rethink your ranking? I don't know.
I definitely prefer him in PPR because of exactly what you mentioned. There's going to be a ton of quick throws. He's not going to want Bosa on his heels, so he's going to want to get rid of the ball quickly. And I think White and Fournette from a PPR's perspective are going to be viable. My issue is kind of what Pat mentioned. You know, Fournette played ahead of White. He played 60% of the snaps. He got a fair amount of touches. And as Pat mentioned on the game-winning touchdown, you know, I hate to play the what-if game, but Rashad White finished last week as the RB14, I believe. If he did not catch that touchdown at the end of the game, he would have been RB38.
Big difference.
So that's a big difference. And, you know, that touchdown could have gone to anybody. And as Pat mentioned, Fournette played most of that drive and was basically subbed out because of his usage. So I'm just a little hesitant as far as putting him as a top 20, 25 back. I think he could be viable as a flex in a PPR situation, but I'm not willing to start him in most formats.
All right, let's go to one more guy here on our list. Let's go to James Cook next. Now, Pat has him at 29, and last night, before Mick went to bed, he did not have him quite this high. Now, Mick slept on it, looked at Pat's ranking, and sort of he had a moment of clarity where he's come around to James Cook. So, Pat, let's talk about it a little bit. James Cook was a popular conversation on Monday's podcast, in case you missed it, for the waiver wire, everybody. It certainly seems like he is starting to pick up this offense. He's starting to pick up what's going on, and he could be in a very big explosive piece for this Buffalo Bills team down the stretch, which also leaned heavily, might I remind everybody, on Devin Singletary this same time last year and rode that all the way in the playoffs and became a much more balanced offense. Pat, what do you see here going forward for James Cook in week 14 against the Jets?
Yeah, the thing is, last year, Joe, the Bills basically decided they didn't want to play any back but Devin Singletary, and Cook does not have quite that same dynamic. Singletary is here to stay for sure. But Cook did play a season-high 32 snaps last week, and we just have to try to figure out whether that sort of usage is going to stick or whether that was just a mirage. And, I mean, Cook looked really good, and our colleague Derek Brown was tweeting out some stats earlier today about how well Cook has shown in some of the efficiency metrics, the explosive play rates, the yards after contact, some of these other metrics. He's been pretty impressive of late. And, you know, the Bills running backs have a 20.5% target share, 14th highest this week. So Josh Allen is starting to check it down a little bit more than he has in the past. Mm-hmm. Jets have given up the 11th most receiving yards to running backs. So maybe this sets up well for what we saw from Cook in week 13, which was Josh Allen checking it down against the Patriots defense. And I don't know, maybe Cook might be a better play in certain matchups. Like, you know, the Patriots don't like giving stuff up over the top. So yeah, like the check down stuff made sense. And maybe, you know, the Jets with their ability to get after the quarterback and how good they are in coverage. Maybe this sets up pretty well for James Cook too.
All right, Mick, let's talk about it here. There was an 8-spot difference going into this. So Pat had him at 29. Now you've got him at 29. ECR a little behind you guys at 31. James Cook has shown some flashes here in the explosiveness we talked about. Is this a matchup in your opinion where you could exploit that from a fantasy perspective?
I think it is. You know, the Jets have very good cornerbacks, so obviously you're not going to take away Stephon Diggs, but I think there is a narrative that Buffalo will be willing to dump the ball off a little more. My question with Cook is basically, you know, are we going to see what we've seen in week 13 and week 11, or are we going to see what we saw in week 12 when he had two touches? So I think that's kind of my hesitance as far as putting him inside the top 25. But again, you know, he's had six touches or fewer in 9 of his 12 games. Now, granted, the usage has ticked up mostly in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but it's still not consistent enough to fully trust him. But I am getting on board that he is being utilized more in a more prominent role. And he could be, you know, if we were doing playoff rankings, I would be probably higher on Cook than I am for strictly week 14.
All right. Let's flip the script here and talk about the guys that Mick is higher on the Pat before we do. Just a quick reminder, everybody, free stuff. Remember, you like free stuff. I know you do. I like free stuff. We all like free stuff. How about a free Christian Watson jersey autographed by Christian Watson himself from our good pals at pristineauction.com? It can be yours. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. Go enter today. All you have to do is go drop a 5-star review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. And we know you get your pods all different spots, but go there, go to Apple. I don't care where it is. You love the show. 5 stars. Then go to fantasypros.com/contest and enter, because we want you to be wearing this autographed jersey walking around the house in January. That's what we want. So go take care of it right now. And don't forget, if you want extra entries into the contest, follow us on our social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, where Andrew Erickson's famous, and of course the Twitter machine too. Again, fantasypros.com/contest. That's the place to go for the Christian Watson jersey. The place to go for the guys in the rankings is fantasypros.com/rankings. And by the way, James Conner, Mick, you've got at RB15. Pat's got at 17. ECR is at 19. So ECR dragging behind both of you guys. Mick, why do you think that is? And why is ECR just plain wrong?
Well, ECR is not factoring in Conner's volume, which is almost second to none. He had 97% of the snaps last game. He had 28 touches in his last game. He's got 71 opportunities in his last three games. So, you know, the volume is king in fantasy football, as we all know, and few backs have more of it than Conner does. Now, granted, you know, I played the what if game with Rashad White and his, if he didn't catch that touchdown to end Monday Night Football. But in his last game, Conner was a top five running back. And he did score a touchdown. Even if he did not score a touchdown, he would have been the RB17. So the volume is enough on its own to put him in that, you know, mid RB2 range. And I think if he gets in the end zone or catches a couple of extra passes in a half PPR, PPR format, which he is apt to do, I think he has top 10 potential and is certainly in that, you know, borderline RB1 range.
Mick makes a great point for the volume, not to mention coming off the bye, Pat, where you're a little bit more refreshed as a running back, especially at this stage in the game. Sometimes maybe going against New England after 25 carries and 28 touches, I'd be a little leery of James Conner, but that bye, I feel like, really helps that out significantly here. Patriots are one of these teams that's towards the top third, I'd say, of the league in terms of defense against the run, but this is what they do. They're going to have to continue to feed the ball to James Conner here in this offense. So what do you think about Conner's chances this week of having a good fantasy performance against the Pats?
Yeah, I'm not quite as high as Mick is in the rankings, but I think Mick nailed it with the workhorse usage here. Conner's snap shares in his last four games, 71%, 96%, 77%, 97%, 16 targets and 13 catches in his last four games. He's the RB11 in fantasy points per game over that stretch over the last month. So, you know, 20 carries or more in two of his last three games. This is workhorse usage. And as you said, Joe, he's coming off the bye. So he should be ready for more this week.
I'm going to have a new nickname now going forward, gentlemen. It's the DeAndre Swift Whisperer, because I am. I told everybody last week, I watched with my own eyes on Turkey Day while the short ribs were cooking on the stove there, braising nicely, watching DeAndre Swift and watching him push and push. And he did not get the touchdown. He scraped his leg. They called it back. But I went, geez, I haven't seen that kind of push in DeAndre Swift, I don't know, since week one, maybe. That looked pretty good to me. And I felt like it was time to go back into the water again with DeAndre Swift. And boy, oh boy, thank goodness I did, because he had a pretty good week. 14 carries. We haven't seen 14 carries since week one, where he had 15. In fact, he hasn't had double digits in any other week except weeks one and week 13. This week, you get Minnesota here for DeAndre Swift. Let's talk about this here, Mick, because you seem to be drinking my Kool-Aid here. 16. RB16 for you. Pat's lagging behind terribly at 19. Unacceptable. And then RB14, the ECR understands and feels the Joey P narrative here on DeAndre Swift. So let's talk about it here. Is DeAndre Swift back, and why is the answer why? Yes.
I'm with you. You know, it's all about health with Swift. We know he's been limited throughout the season. But as you mentioned, he had 20 opportunities last game, which is the most he's had all season. His snap percentage was the second highest for the year. And, you know, the matchup is good. Detroit's actually favored in this game, as we know, against the Minnesota Vikings. But the Vikings allow the sixth most receptions to opposing running backs and the third most receiving yards to backs. And even with Swift's limitations throughout the season, he has had three receptions in seven of his nine games. So even when he has been less than full health, he's contributed from a PPR standpoint and a receiving standpoint. But given that he's as close to, you know, healthy as he has been probably since week one, as you mentioned, I'm willing to ride him, you know, as a high-end RB2, and I think he can get another 15, 16 touches.
All right. Pat Fitzmaurice, I, we're friends here, but this is a fork in the road for us. It's time to get DeAndre Swift up the rankings. Let's go, buddy. Come on. D Swift is back, isn't he?
Maybe.
We can't get tickets for Taylor Swift, but we can get tickets for DeAndre Swift right now. That's what we can do.
Joe, you mentioned at the top of the show that we've got, you know, Bimageddon 2.0. We had a ton of injuries last week. So all these things really putting pressure on fantasy managers. And the other thing we had was like a lot of us being swerved on backfield situations, like things we thought were assumed, like DeAndre Swift having sort of a part-time role, Jeff Wilson being the lead guy in Miami, the Ravens.
Sorry.
The Ravens and Rams kind of swerved us on their running back usage. So, man, we've got a lot to deal with here.
Yeah,
you guys framed this pretty well. I think you make a plausible argument that this was largely due to the ankle and shoulder injuries that Swift was dealing with earlier in the year. But man, I mean, that was like a big bump in usage. A guy who was averaging 5 carries a game since week 2 going into week 13. And all of a sudden he's back to his former usage. So, I mean, I'd like to see that. I think this guy's really good. I think we also know the Lions do like Jamal Williams quite a bit. So it's just, does this new situation for Swift stick, or is it just going to be sort of an oscillating thing based on the vagaries of game script for the rest of the year? I just don't know.
Of game script. Boy, that was good. That sounds like one of the prequels, that George Lucas is going to write for the prequels before the prequels for Star Wars. That was excellent. All right, let's get to the next guy on the list and the last one here in the RBs, Latavius Murray. I know everyone's super excited about Latavius Murray's 17 for 47 performance last week, but he did catch 4 balls. We are seeing that Courtland Sutton most likely is not going to play this week. He's dealing with an issue. So they're going to get Kansas City this week. This can't be a great thing for game script. But then again, at this point, this offense is rough. Mick, you've got him up very high this week. If I'm seeing this correctly, my eyes don't need to be adjusted. RB12. Pat's got him at 23. ECR's at 21. What are you seeing behind those glasses of yours that we're not when it comes to the Broncos?
Let me tell you, having Latavius Murray at 12 in December of 2022 feels dirty. I feel like I need another shower. It doesn't feel good. However, as you mentioned, he had 4 receptions last week. He's actually had 4 receptions in 2 of his last 3 games, and he had not had 4 receptions in a game prior to 3 weeks ago since 2019. So he's essentially, and he's also the goal line back, you know, as it were, for Denver, who never seems to reach the end zone. But if and when they do, he is the goal line back. So he has more or less a 3-down role. Like, I know, you know, Marlon Mack is there and Mike Boone is there, but Murray's going to get all the work he can handle. And, you know, Kansas City has allowed 7 rushing touchdowns inside the 5. So again, do I want to bet on Latavius Murray to score a touchdown when Denver's had their woes scoring all season long? It's a tough sell, but the volume itself is going to be there. And if he does happen to, you know, plod his way into the end zone, then I think he could be a top 10 back, top 12 back this week.
All right, Fitz, what's the counter to the Latavius Murray argument?
Well, the Broncos implied Vegas point total this week is 17, which actually feels
positive or negative.
Positive, which,
oh, okay, good.
Feels
you
a little
check with those guys sometimes.
Exactly. It feels like the odds makers are being a little generous there, since they've averaged 13.8 per game on the season. And Murray has 3 touchdowns in 7 games, and it feels like he's, you know, maybe overperformed expectations based on the scarcity of touchdowns in Denver. I'm just not that crazy about Murray finding the end zone this week. And if he doesn't, I mean, he's had under 50 rushing yards in 5 of his 7 games with the Broncos. You know, Mick did mention that he has gotten more receptions lately, but he still hasn't had more than 23 receiving yards in any game this season. Like, I do have some respect for Murray. I picked him up in a couple of leagues where I was pretty desperate at running back, and he's definitely helped me out. So I don't want to diss him.
He's been a plug. He's been a plug, that's for sure.
Yeah, but to me, he's more like a lower end RB2 than a, you know, borderline
an RB12.
Running back
you could
RB2.
Say it. I know exactly. It's hard to get exactly. The say it with me. RB12. Mick, I like it. It's bold. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's get to the rankings throwdown, where I pick a running back and that I'm higher on than ECR, and Pat tells me why I'm wrong. This is a fun thing we like to do here on the show every single week. Let's go to Samaji Perine. How about a guy that scored 4 touchdowns his last 3 games? How about that? How about a guy who's looked better All the metrics have been better. We had Kevin Coleman on like a month ago, and he said everybody should be picking up Samaje Perine just in case. That just in case. And you know what? If you listen to him that week before Joe Mixon got hurt, boy, oh boy, did that pay off. Now, I understand Mixon's return is probably imminent. But have they found something here in Samaje Perine? I think so. I've got him ranked 19. He's catching the football. Joe Mixon hasn't been great. And ECR is dragging all the way at 30. It's 11-point difference there in the rankings. Fitz, why am I wrong?
Well, I've got him down at 34, Joe, and I'm assuming that Mixon plays. You know, like I don't
let myself out. Let me just.
Yeah, I mean, like we just when Mixon has been healthy, we haven't seen any inclination for them to like divide carries in this backfield. It's pretty much clearly Mixon is the lead guy, and it's change of pace stuff for Perine. Even though, and I can't believe this because I wouldn't have been saying it a year or two ago. I think Perine might be every bit as good as Mixon, if not better. Like, which is funny because Perine was this very average running back prospect coming out of Oklahoma, and I think it was Oklahoma, right? And Mixon, Oklahoma guy too. So yeah, but like Mixon was this stud prospect, and Perine just kind of a guy. But man, like if I had Perine in running back one range last week when Mixon was out and you know, didn't score a touchdown, but did get almost 150 yards from scrimmage. Like the dude can ball out and, you know, against the Browns and their run defense. Like if Mixon isn't around, like, yes, I want Perine in my lineup. I want him in my DFS lineups. But if Mixon's around, I just can't get overly enthusiastic.
That's fair. A lot of the deeper metrics on Mixon this year have not been great, though. No. We've talked about on the show. And I think they found something here in Perine. And maybe it's maybe Mixon comes back and it's a little bit more Rashad White, Leonard Fournette looking than it was the way it was earlier, where Mixon was clearly the lead and Perine was just picking up the pieces. I think they found something here. Outside of that one great game for Joe Mixon, he has been like he's RB13 on the year. I mean, that's just what he's been. He's been fine. He's not been great. He had one great game. That's about it.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's get to our listener mailbag where we get your questions in here. FantasyPros.com/chat. Again, free to join, but premium membership gets you access to AMA stages and a whole lot more. So, Mick, I'm going to throw a question at you from Sean, who's got an amazing Ron Burgundy avatar, which I'm always a big fan of. Someone who constantly is just reading things there and not paying attention, just reading them out loud. I understand Ron Burgundy's pain. This is right from Sean. He wants to know, start Pacheco or Dameon Pierce in a PPR this week? Which way are you going?
I'm leaning towards Dameon Pierce. Again, it feels a little bit off given, you know, Houston is about a 17-point underdog to Dallas. But I think PPR is an important factor in this decision because Pierce has 39 targets on the year. Pacheco has 6. Now, granted, Pacheco has come into his own a little bit more in recent weeks, but he's still not involved in the passing game. And Denver has not allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back since week 8. So if Pacheco doesn't get into the end zone, I don't think he's going to hit enough to outscore Pierce, even in a, you know, a negative game script for Houston.
All right. There you have it. Pat, are you in agreement with that assessment?
I've got him really close. I've actually got Pacheco a little higher. Like, I think Pierce is probably the better player, and I think Pierce is probably more likely to get the greater number of touches. But man, it's the Chiefs offense versus the Texans offense. Like that's the big hitch for me. You know, one has, I was just talking
and
about,
let's not forget the Texans offense against the Cowboys defense. Maybe that's something we should also.
Yeah. I was just talking about implied point totals, Joe, the Chiefs implied point total 26.5. The Texans is 14.5.
There you go. Play the totals. Just like that Vegas show that we've been doing here on the fantasy side. Look, these things are important when you're trying to make your fantasy decisions. So why we started doing that show after the trade show, a trade time goes away. We start pivoting on those Tuesday shows to what Vegas is telling us in fantasy. Look at that. Pat Fitzmaurice, just gold star linking everything together here. All right. I want to thank our good friend here for joining us today on the program. Mick Chialella, who you can follow over on the Twitter machine at TheMick23. Check out all his great work at Fantrax. Mick, pleasure to have you here as always. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Uncommon Goods. Get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/fantasypros. That's uncommongoods.com/fantasypros for 15% off. Don't miss out because Uncommon Goods has the right gifts for that special someone in your life. And join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home this holiday season over at Fight Camp. Right now, go to fightcamp.com/pros. That's fightcamp.com/pros to get memberships as low as $9 a month. Take care of yourself this holiday season and beyond with fightcamp.com. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Mick and Pat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.